Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is alternative perceptions. Each of my guests is explaining how one slight change in perception can make the world of difference. My next guest serves on the board of directors of the Partnership for a Healthier America, the nonprofit foundation supporting First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative. She'll provide an alternative perception about how we can be physically fit in 10 minutes at a time from her latest book, Instant Recess. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Toni Yancey is both a medical doctor and an MPH. We'll ask her about that in just a minute. She's currently a professor in the Department of Health Services at UCLA's School of Public Health. She's also the co-director of the UCLA Kaiser Permanente Center for Healthy Equity. She spent 5 years in the public health practice, first as a director of public health for the city of Richmond, Virginia, and then as a director of chronic disease prevention and health promotion for the LA County Department of Health Services. She serves on the Institute of Medical Standing Committee on Childhood Obesity Prevention and Healthy Literacy Roundtable, on the National Physical Activity Planning Coordinating Committee, and recently was appointed to the Board of Directors of the Partnership for a Healthier America. That's the nonprofit foundation supporting Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative. Dr. Yancey completed her undergraduate studies at Northwestern University. She received her medical degree from Duke University and her preventive medicine residency and MPH at UCLA. Her latest book is titled Instant Recess, Building a Fit Nation 10 Minutes at a Time. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Toni. How are you today?
Well, thanks. I'm doing great.
Well, good. I'm so happy to have you back on the show. Now, you have been involved in health and the whole obesity thing. You also have sent some representatives up here to Ventura County to sort of spread the word here. What is it that you are talking about down at St. John's Hospital in Oxnard to promote a healthier lifestyle for us Venturans?
Well, we're talking today about how we can, just with a small change in our daily workplace routine, bring fitness, bring productivity, bring, you know, mood elevation and, you know, relief from some of the depressive symptoms that we feel, relief from stress, you know, all in the package of these 10-minute physical activity breaks that we call Instant Recess. And Keen, which is an outdoor footwear company based up in Portland, actually called me up kind of out of the blue about 5 months ago and asked if we could partner in some way because they were launching a recess revolution to bring recess back into the workplace. So we teamed up and just last week released a toolkit, an instant recess toolkit brought to you by Keen, and they're making it available free of charge that anybody can download at corptoolkit.keenfootwear.com.
Now, slow down. That's Corp Toolkit. That's all one word.
Yes.
At Keen?
Keen Footwear.
And how do you spell Keen?
K-E-E-N.
All right. Footwear.com.
That's correct.
The Instant Recess Toolkit. Well, I like that. I think that that's great. Now, who is the toolkit designed for? Is it designed for businesses? Is it designed for schools? Is it designed for institutions? Who would benefit from this?
It's designed for the workplace. So businesses, you know, whether they're corporate or small businesses, it's designed for government agencies. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm on the First Five Commission representing the second district here in Los Angeles, and we're going to be formalizing a motion that we adopted last month to have activity breaks, these instant recess breaks, as a part of our public meetings. So it can really be anywhere, and I mean, certainly we've worked a lot with schools, and we also have similar kinds of materials for the school setting, which is also a workplace, of course. But this toolkit is really focused squarely on especially the private sector and trying to get them to take up the mantle of promoting physical activity, not just for the public's health, which is why we do it in public health, but for their own organization's sake, to improve their own productivity, to improve employee morale, and to actually deliver a return on investment. And that's a part of this toolkit. Is I worked with three different economists and created a what we call cost-benefit or ROI calculator, return on investment calculator, and they can actually plug in the number of employees, the type of industry, like is it service or government or whatever, the hourly wage on average and the number of hours worked on average, and whether they intend to make their recess breaks mandatory or voluntary, and it will spit out a return on investment. And we calculate when they do that, just looking at the web interface, it'll give you the 1 year return on investment. So savings that you will realize to your organization for implementing 1 10-minute break a day. But if you actually click on the Excel spreadsheet that we produce, you can see returns from the 3 month point all the way through 2 years, and they range pretty much from $1.50 to $2 per dollar invested.
Oh, so you get a much bigger return than the time and the money that you spend. That's exciting, Dr. Tony. So talk me through that, and let's use a concrete example. Let's say there's a retail store where you have a bunch of part-timers that are working 4, maybe 6 hours a day. You have, in total, 30 employees, 2 store managers, that kind of thing. How would you implement the 10-minute instant recess in an environment like that where it's shift work and people are coming and going and things like that?
I can't give you a concrete example from having done it at a retail store, but I think a similar type of thing might be the outpatient clinical settings that have done this, because, you know, obviously they have customers to serve, even though it's slightly different from, you know, selling a good, you
sure.
know, but I mean,
but it's similar.
A constant
yeah.
flow. And what they've done is to identify, first of all, times when they're meeting. Okay, so in most workplaces, there's some sort of, you know, staff meetings. Often they occur, you know, on a weekly basis. So incorporating the 10-minute activity break as a part of that. Others have adopted it in addition. Usually, you know, the meeting kind of is the basic thing. And we, the other thing that they're talking about up there in Ventura today is that about 22 cities to date have adopted our activity breaks as a part of meetings that last an hour or longer. So it, you know, that's kind of a given. I mean, that's pretty easy to do. But then people are also, you know, having it done at shift change. So, you know, when the first shift is, you know, on its way out, the second shift is coming in. Before that first shift goes, the second shift can actually do an instant recess break for 10 minutes. The similar thing with doing something at the end of a day, at the end of a work day, although, you know, sometimes people are, you know, anxious to get out. So I haven't personally found as much success with that as doing it kind of sometime in the middle. We've worked with call centers like at Kaiser Permanente South Bay down here, and in their call centers, what they did was, you know, they have kind of a rolling, you know, they have about 5 teams. So when one team was doing the activity break, the calls would roll over to the other 4 teams. And so, you know, at any given time, you know, you only had 20% of the employees doing it. And, you know, that seemed to work out, you know, quite well for them, so that they actually saw an increase in productivity rather than an increase in, you know, waiting times or something like that.
Wow, what a great example. My guest is Dr. Tony Yancey, author of the book Instant Recess, Building a Fit Nation 10 Minutes at a Time. And in the book, Dr. Tony, you equate obesity and physical inactivity to the dangers of smoking and drunk driving, calling them the twin epidemics. That's pretty harsh stuff. And we know that smoking leads to lung disease and to heart disease. We know that drunk driving kills people and passengers, pedestrians, and so forth. How are obesity and inactivity as dangerous to our health as these other very detrimental activities?
Well, if you think about it this way, okay, about in California, and let's just talk about California right now, since we've been such a front runner as it relates to tobacco. I mean, our smoking rates in the state are down around the 15% or less range right now. So we're talking about a relatively small proportion of the population that actually smokes.
True.
Now, once you add to that family members who might be exposed to secondhand smoke, you have a larger population. But still, a relatively small segment, even though tobacco does great damage. So it's still a major leading public health problem. But when you look at sedentariness, it's less than 5% of adults that, when you actually put an accelerometer, which is kind of a glorified step counter and can actually capture the number of minutes that somebody spends being at least moderately physically active. So that means like the equivalent of somebody who doesn't have any functional limitations, walking a mile and a half to two miles in and a half an hour.
Oh.
So a 3 to 4 mile an hour pace is, it's a brisk walk, that mm-hmm. level or higher of activity. And when we actually objectively monitor people's physical activity, less than 5% of adults actually get that amount, 30 minutes a day, 5 or more days a week. Now, when we ask people how much they get, more than 50% say they're getting that amount of activity. So, you know, there's a big disconnect between what people are reporting and what people are actually getting when we monitor it. And it's not because everybody's out swimming or biking or doing other things that, you know, the activity monitors don't measure. So I think that's, again, where something like instant recess comes in, is that if we add 10 minutes to the workday so that it's very consistent, so that people are getting one or maybe even two instant recess breaks every day consistently. I mean, maybe they miss a day because they're out, you know, traveling to some meeting or something, but consistently they're getting that amount. You could double or triple the average American adult amount of physical activity. And the best part of it is that for those people who are most likely to be sedentary, in other words, those who are the least likely to have a gym membership, be going out, you know, walking every day or, you know, going to the park, playing sports, I mean, the people that are most sedentary are more likely to actually get the instant recess break, you know, because the other folks, you know, tend to be higher placed in the company and they're being held responsible for, you know, the outcomes that they produce rather than the hours. They're not punching time clocks. So they're a little, you know, more resistant typically to instant recess, but the person who's, you know, punching in from 8 to 5, you know, hey, would you rather, you know, sit at the computer for that 10 minutes or would you rather dance for that 10 minutes? And that's a pretty easy response from both.
That is true. My guest is Dr. Tony Yancey. So, Tony, you know, we're all out of shape, and we know that there are health risks associated with being out of shape, and yet we still continue to be out of shape. We still continue to be sedentary and so forth. What are some of the human nature aspects that really prevent us from getting up and going and becoming more active?
Yeah, I think that basically, in terms of our own evolution as human beings, we never had to have any kind of prompt to be active, because, you know, to escape predators and find food and shelter and, you know, find water and that sort of thing, we pretty much had to be active. And in fact, in most of our, you know, million years on the planet, we were probably too active for our own good. You know, we didn't get enough, you know, physical rest, and, you know, calories were very expensive when we had to hunt them down or, you know, gather them or till the fields to get them. But now those calories are plentiful. They're, you know, engineered to be extremely palatable, you know, so that human beings are actually vulnerable, if you will, to highly sweetened, fatty, you know, salty foods, because, you know, we needed evolutionarily to eat those kinds of foods to, you know, have a little extra body fat that could be stored against the lean times, the famines. But we don't get any famines much anymore. And I'm not talking about, you know, globally, there still are problems in a lot of places. But by and large, right here in America, there aren't a lot of famines. And poor people in America, if anything, are being exposed to more of the fatty, sugary, salty foods, because they're very cheap and they come packaged up and they're comfort food for a lot of people. So, I mean, I think our own vulnerability biologically is a challenge for us, given the changes in our environment that have occurred over the last several decades.
That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Dr. Tony Yancey, author of the book Instant Recess. And, Tony, I'm going to ask you a public policy question. Is it the role of public institutions to promote physical activity?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, if it's the role of public institutions to fight epidemics of communicable disease, which used to be the number one killers, but now are really small in terms of the number of lives lost compared to chronic diseases, the common ones, obesity, contributing to diabetes, heart disease, and so forth. So I absolutely think that if government doesn't get involved, but especially if government doesn't effectively leverage private sector involvement, we're not going to solve this problem. So it is our role in government to find ways to help people be physically active, because if we don't do that, we're paying for it. Government's paying more than anybody else for the costs of sedentary behavior.
All right, then let me ask the follow-on question, if I can, Tony. Why does exercise have to be marketed to today's society, like you're packaging and marketing with the toolkit that you've done with Keen Footwear? Why does it have to be marketed?
Because our biology doesn't make us go out and get it. You know, I mean, we've got hunger, and so pretty much every day, day in, day out, we're going to eat. And if the healthy foods are available and competitively priced and appealing, we're going to eat those. But there's no biological drive to get us off of our couches. And in fact, our biology, if anything, is telling us to keep seated, because for almost all of human history, minus the last 30, 40 years, we've had to do so much, you know, just to survive. Now we don't. Okay. So we really are in a very unique situation where our environment is firing against us. And there's not much human motivation to, you know, to get activity. So a very small proportion of us get optimal levels, which is more than the 30 minutes a day, five or more days a week. I mean, if you really want to maintain a healthy weight, you can't do that probably with 30 minutes a day unless you eat really, really well, really, really conservatively. So getting optimal levels or even getting the minimum recommendation of 30 minutes a day is not something that most or even, you know, close to most Americans are doing. And we're going to have to start incrementally. So we need to add small amounts throughout the day. And we need to get to a point where it becomes a social expectation and a social norm. So prolonged sitting becomes as socially stigmatized as smoking or drinking and driving.
All right. My guest is Dr. Tony Yancey, author of the book Instant Recess. And in that answer, Dr. Tony, you were saying we need to get off our couches. I thought you were going to say something else. I'm glad that you didn't. And talking about the book Instant Recess, if people are interested, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to Amazon. Amazon carries the book, and we'll have it to them within a couple of days. There are also a number of independent bookstores that carry the book, and I know at least the last time I was on your show, there was an independent bookstore in Ventura County that was carrying it, and many Barnes & Noble locations carry the book there at the store.
That's right.
It's pretty easy to get.
And that includes our own bank of books right here in Ventura, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Tony, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.